size of the egg. Ukshasti, Chaitranati Pishta Bhajantamisha. Shushushaya Bhajana Vigyam Ananyamanya. Nindari Shunya Vidamitsita Sangamatya. I just want to show you that I know how to use PowerPoint. We've talked yesterday about the six loving exchanges. What are those? Dadati, Pratigrinati, Adhyati, Srishti. To give something and accept something, to give some prasadam and accept some prasadam, then reveal the mind confidentially and hear confidentially. These are the six loving exchanges. Now, to apply these exchanges, we need to select the proper persons with whom to reciprocate, or we need to know how to reciprocate with different kinds of persons. Persons means devotees, because we discussed yesterday that these six reciprocations are meant for devotees. You shouldn't intimately mix with the Mayavadis, the Karmis, the Gyanis. So these reciprocations are meant for devotees, and we should know how to deal with different kinds of Vaishnavas. Now, to start off, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, in his doctoral dissertation, makes a useful observation by noting that qualifications can be seen as either digital or analog. Digital means either on or off. Either one or zero. Right? A digital switch is either yes or no. On or off. One or zero. And analog involves gradations. Your volume setting on your tape player is analog. So, digitally, for example, if you have a loudspeaker, this is a primitive loudspeaker over here. if you have a loudspeaker, the digital question is it on or is it off? And the analog question is, how many decibels? How loud is it? Is it loud, very loud, inaudible? Okay? So these same categories can be applied spiritually. We can view spiritual qualifications in these two categories. This is not coming from Shastra, it's coming from Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, but it's useful. In terms of spiritual qualification, digitally, you're either initiated or you're not initiated. Right? You're either in the sampradaya or you're not. So the digital qualifications are simple to decide. They're simple to decide. For some people, you have to be an Indian to be qualified. You know, I want a guru who's an Indian. So that's real easy. You're either Indian or you're not Indian. You're either born in a Brahmin family or you're not. You're either a Goswami by birth or you're not. You're either a born a Brajvasi or you're not. The answer is either yes or no. So those are digital qualifications. Real easy to tell. Real easy to tell. But the analog qualifications are more judgment calls. They're more subtle. Does one have strong faith? Does one have exalted vision? Is one fully dedicated? Is he pure in heart? Is he compassionate? Those are, you know, what he, well, what should I tell? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10? Yeah, well, I guess he's more compassionate than some people and less compassionate than other people. Sometimes he seems compassionate, but I don't know. Is he strict in his spiritual practices? Well, kind of. Or very. Or not all the time. It's analog. You know, you turn the dial and, you know, you put it up to 8 or down to 2 or up to 10. But it's not just on or off. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Those eyes know we're making sense.
This makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense, okay. Now, moving forward. Prabhupada therefore says, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. Especially when you're dealing with things that are not just on or off. Like, it's easy to tell, well, he's a Brajvasi. That's easy, yes or no. But is he spiritually on target? Well, okay. That requires careful discrimination. Now, let's see. I want to keep 3 or 4 things open at once. So that's like interesting. Yeah. Now, Srila Prabhupada tells us that this verse is meant to help us interact with 3 kinds of devotees. What are they?
Kanishta, Adhikari, Madhyam, Adhikari, and
Uttam. Yeah, Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. 3 levels of eligibility. Adhikar means eligibility, and Adhikari is a person who has eligibility. So there's neophyte eligibility, intermediate eligibility, and exalted eligibility. The neophytes are also called prakriti bhaktas. Prakriti means?
Materialistic.
They're still not out of the woods. They're still affected by the material energy to some extent. Or the influence of the material energy is still quite visible, but they are devotees. Now, the purport discusses these 3 kinds of devotees, but notice, if you will, that it distinguishes between them in different ways. The scales are different. In Upadeshamrita, what's a third-class devotee? Yep, class.
One who chants and has Harinam initiation.
One who chants and has Harinam initiation. Someone who's chanting Hare Krishna is counted as an eligible devotee. He's eligible for devotional service. He's chanted, and here it's indicated he's received Harinam initiation. It may be useful for you to know, if you don't already know, that when we speak of initiation, our terminology is a little bit different from our colleagues in the other mutts here in Mayapur and elsewhere. When they speak of initiation, what do they mean?
Second.
They mean what we call second initiation. It means you've received the Gayatri Mantra, the sacred thread, We call that second initiation. They call it simply initiation or diksha. And what we usually call first initiation is they call nam, or receiving the holy name of Krishna. So there's a distinction. We say, is he initiated? Yeah, he's initiated. But he may not be initiated as far as they're concerned. He's initiated if he's received the Gayatri Mantra. Otherwise, he's only gotten nam. So there's sometimes some question that anyway gets into misunderstandings sometimes about who's initiated and who's not. But it's just a question of straightening out the nomenclature, the terminology. In the beginning, a person who's got none, or first initiation, Krishneti yasya hiritam manasadhi. He's counted as third class, and the second class devotee, according to Upadeshamrita. Okay, guys.
Second
initiation.
Yes?
Diksha into Vishnu. Dikshasti yat pranati bhis. He's gotten diksha, second initiation, and he's doing bhajan. He's following the rules and regulations. He's practicing the principles of devotional service. We've talked about 64 items of devotional service. We talked about chanting a certain number of rounds, following four regulative principles. These are all required, or these are all part and parcel of what's involved in diksha. One receives initiation, and one is engaged in bhajan. So then he's considered madhyam, second class. And first class? One who's advanced in devotional service. Which means, yes?
He's free from the habit to criticize others.
Yeah. He doesn't criticize others. He's free from that. His heart, pridham, is free from ninda, anya ninda, criticizing others, adi, and so on. Not only that, but all the other stuff that comes with it. His heart is pure. These are the three categories of devotees according to Upadeshamrita. Third class, second class, and first class. Okay? Shunya. Nindadi Shunya. His heart is completely free, zero. Anya vilashita, shunya. Shunya means zero. You, even in ordinary, you know, 108 or something, that always shunya, zero. Okay. These things are described here, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we've just studied, haven't we? The neophyte devotee, Kanishka, Madhyam, and Uttamadhikaris are differently described. What are they described in terms of?
Faith and knowledge.
Faith and knowledge. So what's a third class devotee? Reliable faith, Kamala Shraddha. Kamala Shraddha. His faith is soft. And what else?
Not so much knowledge.
He doesn't know very much. His knowledge is kind of not really there, and his faith is really soft. Somebody can come along and say, you know, I don't know why you're wasting your life this way. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. And he thinks, oh. Really? No, Krishna. No, Jesus. And he's You know, I don't, you, now I don't know. Yes?
And this word meditative, I don't know how to properly react with different words.
You're talking something else now. We're talking about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's not mentioned. Nothing about deity worship. Faith and knowledge. His faith is weak and his knowledge is scanty. Second class devotee.
He has faith, yes. But he has no knowledge. Complete knowledge.
He has knowledge, but he cannot convince others so easy. Okay.
His knowledge is intermediate. He's not devoid of knowledge, but he can be beaten in a fight. He may sometimes not be able to offer scriptural evidence for his assertions. He may sometimes not understand something clearly. He generally knows the philosophy, but his knowledge is not perfect. And his faith, just mentioned?
Yes, strong faith.
He has good faith. He has strong faith. Even if you defeat him in an argument, to say, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to go back and ask such and such Maharaj, you know, because there's an answer. I just don't know what the answer is. I'll get back to you tomorrow, okay? He's not fazed. Uh-oh, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I should. His faith is not pliable and soft like that. He's got good, strong faith, but his knowledge is not perfect. He may sometimes need to ask some superior devotee for reinforcements or guidance or enlightenment on the philosophy. And first class? His knowledge is complete. And his faith?
Strong.
Deep, strong faith. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddhavan jan hoy bhakti adhikari uttam madhya kanishta shraddha anusari. The eligible persons in devotional service are considered in these three categories shraddha anusari, according to their faith. Shastra yuktye sunikuna jitta shraddha yar uttam adhikari she tarye samsar. Person who has strong expert knowledge from shastras and deep faith is the uttamadhikari. Shastre yukto cha nipuna sarvata dritta nishchaya pravta shraddho ikari ya sapatta uttamo mata bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Nipuna nana shastra vicharane kanipuno. Nipun means expert. Expert in shastras. And sarvata dritta nishchaya. Deep, strong faith, nishtraya, certainty, nishtraya. Just in Hindi we say nischit. Is that for sure? Nischit, definitely. Nishtraya, convinced, no doubt about it. Sapakta uttamo, he's first class devotee. Pauta shraddha, deep, strong faith. Shastra yukti nahi jane dritta shraddhavan madhyam adhikarishe mahabhagyavan. Here's a very fortunate person, mahabhagyavan. He doesn't have strong shastric knowledge, shastra yukti nahi, but he has strong faith. So he's madhyam adhikar. Ya shastrarish vanipuna Shraddhavan Satu Madhya, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He has faith, Shraddhavan, but in the Shastras, Anipuna, just the opposite, not so expert.
Can we say that the second class devotee comes to weakly, comes to faith? His faith is somehow blind? Or some problem?
No, it's not blind. It's not blind. He has some faith, and the faith is in terms of what he's heard from Shastra, but he's not so expert. His faith is reasonable. It's not just I believe. Krishna's Lord. No. He's heard from Shastra. He's got reasons. He could tell you the reasons. He could quote some verses for you. He could give you good arguments. But not so expert. He's not expert. Just like I know how to use a computer. So it's not that I'm illiterate. I'm computer literate, but I'm not expert. I can't take it apart and put it back together and make it dance and do all the things that an expert could do. I'm an ordinary user. Someplace in the middle. I'm not, you know. How do you save a file? I'm not that dumb. But I'm not up at the top level. I'm someplace in the middle. I have a certain amount of knowledge, and I have faith that you can do it somehow or other if you're expert.
Maybe just one example, we can just try to categorize it. So one devotee, Rao Center, he's been coming around for months, and he's been associating with devotees. Devotees used to preach to him, you know, all the time. And he seemed to be doing okay, until one day somehow they got into the topic of, and some devotee was preaching to him, they told him that, actually, you know, Radharani is married to Abhimanyu. And that was it, you know. He was like, finished. He couldn't understand. It's this Krishna, you know. How can he be married to someone else? So would he be like, and yeah, now he's out of it, you know.
Well, the first thing is whoever was preaching to him was an expert.
But now,
you know,
I mean,
why drag Abhimanyu into this?
He's spoken to so many Maharajas, so many senior devotees. They've tried to, you know, explain to him Abhimanyu's position or... You know, it's actually Krishna. So many things, but he's like, he just cannot get over this. You know, how can Krishna be married? I mean, Radharani be married to Abhimanyu? It's Krishna, you know. He's a real rascal. So I guess he'd be like someone who's a third class devotee, whose faith was very, very soft and Bible. And,
so it seems.
Yeah.
And it's also lack of discrimination on the part of the preacher. You know, you're not this body. And Radharani is actually why drag these topics in for the neophyte devotee? These things are for discussion among the advanced devotees. For the beginning devotees, you're not this body, life is meant for spiritual realization. We have to control the mind, we have to control the senses, we have to reduce our attachments.
I don't know, somehow I think he was talking.
You know, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't find any mention of Abhimanyu and Radharani.
Yeah,
nor in the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth.
Yeah, I think he was trying to use some analogy. I can't remember the exact details, but he was trying to use some analogy and put an example.
There you go. So if our faith is weak, just for example, we found some devotees when Srila Prabhupada said that the moon thing never happened. We have devotees leaving in, you know, in flocks. You know, we had discussing the other day that, you know, when Prabhupada was here, it was so easy because everyone had faith in Prabhupada. Like hell. They did up to a point. Some did, some didn't. And the ones who did, sometimes to some extent, you know, it was too much. No, we saw it on television. How could they not have done it? Fifth canto hadn't been published, but if it had been, that would have been worse. How could this be, you know, how could the moon be further away than the sun? Oh no, I'm gonna bloop. So that's weak faith. Yeah, they don't understand the what's being said from Shastra. And they'll leave over it too. So that's weak faith. And a second class devotee, he may not understand it so well. He may not have the map of the universe down so clearly in his vision. But he knows it's right. It's in Bhagavatam, it's right. That's all. And Yahar Komala Shraddha Se Kanishta Jam. Krame krame teho bhakta vaibe utta. Person who has weak faith, soft faith, is a kanishta adhikari, But step by step, krame krame, such a person can become an uttamadaka. You don't have to be born uttamadaka. If you're kanishta, then go step by step by step. We discuss those steps in Nectar of Devotion. And you can become also uttam. Yo bhave komala shrata sa kanishta vade. A person with soft faith is called a kanishta. So that's according to Chaitanya Charitam. And to make things more... Yes?
Because he stated that kanishta adhikari is only interested in worshipping the deities.
Now you're talking something else again.
Yes.
We're just getting to your subject. In fact, that's Bhagavata. We've discussed Upadeshamrita. What's first, second, and third from Upadeshamrita? Now we've discussed first, second, and third according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which follows Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, what does Bhagavatam say? What's third class according to Bhagavatam?
Hmm? Yeah.
You're on.
This is only interesting worshiping the deities.
Yeah. He's a deity worshiper. But he doesn't have appreciation for other devotees. He sees himself and God. Himself and the deity. But he doesn't know how to regard other devotees. He doesn't have them in the picture. It's just me and Krishna. He's called third class. And second class? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. He can distinguish between four categories. The Lord, the devotees, demons,
and innocent. Yeah, he distinguishes. See, the Lord is worshipable. Then there are the devotees to make friends with. There are the innocent to preach to. And the demons to avoid. So he's called second class. And first class? What's the vision of a first class devotee? Sees Krishna everywhere.
Yeah, he's very serious, strictly following.
Oh, you're just reading. Get out of here. According to Bhagavatam, you're not even reading the right place.
Everyone is a devotee.
He sees everyone as a devotee. Yeah. Sees Krishna and everyone, everyone in Krishna. He sees that everyone's engaged in the service of the Lord. That's his vision. That's his vision. According to Bhagavatam.
Does he also see himself as the lesser?
Yeah, you see, everyone's engaged in the service of Krishna, etc.
Yeah.
This is described in Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashye bhagavat bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat jatman yesha bhagavatottamah ishare tad adhineshu alisheshu drishatsu cha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti sa madhyam archayam eva hariye pujam yashrataye hate natat bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smita. He's called prakrita, third class devotee. Who's that? He doesn't see the other devotees. Natat bhakteshu chanyeshu. He only sees the Lord is worshipable. Archayam eva hariye, pujam yashrataye. He has faith that Krishna is worshipable, but not these other people. I'm worshipping God, which what do I have to do with these people? And ishure tad adhineshu balisheshu. Balisheshu means the childish, innocent people. Vishatsu, the envious. Prema maitri prapopeksha. Accordingly, he loves them, or he makes friends with them, or he is merciful to them. The innocent, he's merciful to. The devotees, he's friendly with. The Lord, he worships. And the demons, he ignores. He ignores. Let's see if I've got further discussion about this too, but let's see if it's in the mind. the Prakrita Bhakta is not so much appreciated in Bhagavatam. In the third canto, I think it's third canto, Lord Kapildev says, the person who is worshipping the Lord and has no appreciation of the devotees of the Lord is like someone who's performing a sacrifice by offering ghee into the ashes. Instead of offering ghee to the fire, he's pouring ghee into ashes. So it's not very much appreciated. But something is there. He's worshipping the Lord. Yes.
Maharaj, it appears to me that there's a contradiction, actually, in these different angles from the different scriptures.
Well, we're going to get to that. First, let's get down what they are, according to these different, you know, each one within its own realm, before we start comparing. These are all measures, you know, just like centigrade and Fahrenheit, and there are different measure ways of measuring, or they're different, taking in different into account different features. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, your faith. In Bhagavatam, your dealings, who you respect and how you deal with others. And in Upadeshamrita, did you get the holy name? Did you get initiation? Are you an advanced devotee? So they're calculated. You're first, second, and third. You know, if we say somebody's first class, why is he first class? He's always polite. He's always deals nicely with people. He's second class. He doesn't dress very nicely. He doesn't know how to deal with people very nicely. But and third class, you know, so that's one first, second, third class. And another first class is he speaks very nicely, he has a loud voice, he leads kirtan very nicely. This person, you know, he's like, doesn't speak. You know, you can measure by different calculations. What's first class? What's second class? What's third class? So there are different yardsticks being used here. They're not measuring the same way and looking at the same things. You know, like we think this is a first class house because it's big. The second class house because it's, you know, middle size, and that one's third class because it's small. Or, well, that one's first class because it's brick. That's second class because it's wood. That's third class because it's straw. Different ways of looking at it. So Prakrita Bhakta, Prabhupada said that the standard is Madhyamanikara. We should not remain Prakrita Bhaktas. Now, taking things a bit further.
So just one quick
question.
Madhyamanikari, what's the reference from Bhagavata?
It's 11th canto. These are all 11th canto.
Yeah.
Second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's texts 45 through 47. And if you want to look them up in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 22, 72 through 74. Very often quoted verses.
Mm-hmm. Which verses? Second chapter?
11, 2, 45 through 47. Yes?
We have a question also. Kanishtha Adhikari is only worshipping the day in the temple. So how is it possible that Kanishtha Adhikari is like a non-initiated devotee?
Different yardstick. According to Upadeshamrita, he's not, you know, he can't be, he's got to be at least second class because he's initiated, because he's worshipping the deity. But according to Bhagavatam, you could be initiated and be absolutely third class. He's initiated, but he doesn't see anyone but himself in the deity. He's third class. This is what happens with different categories. Again, the house, according to one calculation, is first class because it's big. But according to another calculation, it's third class because it's strong. For those who don't like straw houses, that's another way. So you'll look at these and say, oh, it's contradictory. But things are being measured according to different criteria. It's not the same. It's the same first class, second class, third class, but the way we're looking at it is different. There are different measures being applied. Any other questions here? Okay. To make things more interesting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary, distinguishes the three grades of devotees in another way. Is that in the purport? I don't recall. Someone, yes?
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati thinks like unless one chants 64 rounds.
No, that's something else again. That's also true. You've got a hit, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You don't have the answer to the question.
I'm sorry.
Okay. He says that someone who's chanted even once is a beginner. He's a Kanishtha Adhikari. And someone who chants constantly is an intermediate devotee. And what's a first class devotee?
Someone who, when he appears somewhere, the others start chanting.
Yeah, when you see him, you chant. That's first class. First class, third class, he chants, he's chanted even once. Second class, he's always chanting. But then first class, you see him, you chant. Jahar darshane mukhe aise krishna nam tahare janiya tumi vaishnav kritam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first class Vaishnav is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. Here is a further description from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur of the Mahabharata. He says, so this is Mahabhagavat. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava should be considered a Mahabhagavat, a first-class devotee. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna-conscious duty, and he's enlightened in self-realization. He's always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he's always awake to transcendental realization, and because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything as being connected with Krishna. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav has the transcendental eyes to see who's sleeping under the spell of Maya. And he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned beings by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus, the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyamadhikari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lohake yavat sparshi hema nahi kore, tabat sparsha mani keha chinite na kore. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living entity from abominable material life to the Lord's service. This is the test of a Mahabhagavat. I'm going to back up a moment and throw this at you. This is just a comparative chart of first class, second class, and third class. And of course, there's another column that should be there for Upadeshamrita. These are, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There you can see the criteria are differently stated. Any questions about that? Yes.
I don't know if this is connected actually to my question, but sometimes it's said that the guru can be also Madhya Malika.
That's, you're racing ahead. I asked if there were any questions about this, not about that. We'll get to things. Okay. Yes.
So, if we make a connection to these three, is that correct? Or is it?
If you make a connection?
Yeah.
Are they interrelated? Well, they're related by the terms first class, second class, and third class. They're related because they are all describing different stages of advancement: beginner, medium, and
because
exalted.
Different measurements.
But they're different measurements. Is it always that everything clicks as being, well, if he's first class according to one standard, third class according to one standard, is he third class according to other? We just looked at that, didn't we? We saw that you could be first class, third class, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, but not knowing how to regard other devotees, and be second class according to Upadeshamrita. Because you're initiated and doing bhajan.
I guess my question is more like, when to apply which
well,
like
good question. I don't have an answer.
Maybe what we can do is we can just use all the criteria if you want to assess which category you are. Because it's similar in one sense, if you really cross a page, weak in spiritual argument, strong in faith, worship the Lord. So we can use maybe all the criteria, not just try to find the one that gives us the highest level of bhajan.
Yeah, highest score, you know, they have you know, different columns and you get scored according to this, according to this, and according to that. You can score people differently, if you like, according to these different criteria.
I think also it's just a reminder to us that we mustn't think, okay, I'm chanting Diksha, I'm chanting Gayatri now, so I must be advanced, you know.
I must be a second class, I must be a Madhya Madhikari,
yeah.
Because I've gotten initiation.
Yeah.
But you might be, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, a Paka Kanishka. Or you might be initiated, but do you chant the holy name of the Lord constantly? You know? Yes.
So in our movement there have been cases of people who were very influential and like the main disciples who ultimately left. So
yeah. There's another, you know, yardstick that Uttamadhikari is known by the ability to make many, many disciples. But so is a person who's in spiritual trouble. We read that in Nectar of Devotion, what's one of the things that you're advised not to do?
Collect disciples.
Atyahara. Atyahara, collecting too much. And the comment is in Nectar of Devotion that one, if one becomes carried away by having a lot of disciples or a lot of money coming one's way or that sort of thing, then one doesn't have a very high grade of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada said in the beginning, we mentioned it, that one has to select proper persons with careful discrimination. With careful discrimination. It's not simply an on or off switch here. It requires careful discrimination. Okay, he's got lots of disciples. He must be an Uttamanika. As he said, we found that that was disproven by historical evidence. On the other hand, it may be. It may be. Like, why does he have so many disciples? Because he's an Uttamanika. He's got spiritual potency. Any other questions here so far? Yes.
I consider that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explanation, first class Uttamadhikari, it's a stronger criterion than the others.
Yeah, you can. We'll get different descriptions of a Mahabhagavata, and we'll see that as we read along. Some places the just like pure devotee. We discussed pure devotee before. We found that it went from anything that, like a beginning neophyte up to the topmost Paramahansa. So that word pure devotee is sometimes used to mean different things. Similarly, first class devotee. What does it mean? It means different things at different times according to who's saying it and what criteria they're applying. Yes.
Can be applied for Srila Prabhupada's case.
Yeah, all the first class criteria apply to Srila Prabhupada, as far as I'm concerned.
Especially.
Yeah, if you look at Srila Prabhupada, you'll find everything's first class. His expertise in Shastra, his conviction in faith, his vision, how he sees everyone, his influence in making everyone else chant Hare Krishna, his freedom from envy and offensiveness. Now by any criteria, Srila Prabhupada is first class. Any reasonable criteria. Yes?
I would like to ask you, what does it mean that he has chanted the holy name even once?
That's what it means, just as it is. Yeah, he's considered, he's Adhikari, Bhakta Adhikari, he's chanted even once. He's a devotee.
With offenses, he can chant.
Huh?
He can chant with offenses.
Offenses, not offenses, he chanted.
He chanted once.
Out of millions and millions and millions and millions of people, this guy chanted. He's a devotee.
In the pastime with Gadadhar Das, he got so many people to chant, and he wanted to get this Kazi to chant. With this house in the middle of the night, and woke him up and said, Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to chant Hare Krishna. I've got everyone to chant except you. Will you please chant the holy name? You know? And the Kazi wasn't into it and said, so tomorrow I'll chant the holy name of Hari. And then the Gadadhar Das heard down, jumped up and down, you've chanted the holy name of Lord Hari.
Just keep doing it. Yeah. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. That someone who's chanted even once is considered a devotee. Okay. Yes?
It's also said that for preaching, one has to go down from the...
That's also there.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Srila Prabhupada and you'll say, actually, he's a second-class devotee. Because he's not acting with everyone as if they were all, you know, perfectly engaged. He's friendly with the devotees. He's merciful to the ignorant. He's worshiping the Lord. And he's completely ignoring the demonic, having nothing to do with the demons. And he's a second-class devotee. We'll talk about that. These were the qualifications mentioned of a Mahabhagavata by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Awakens remembrance of the holy name in everyone, always aware of his duties in Krishna consciousness, enlightened in self-realization, always in love with Krishna, Then here's another description. This is from the purport. Out of many such Vaishnavas, those who are initiated and engaged in service, Prabhupada is talking about, out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found who is very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttamadhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So that's another definition of Mahapadra. And if you'd like another one, perhaps a bit perplexing, the Mahabhagwan is one who decorates his body with tilak, and whose name indicates him to be a servant of Krishna by the word das. He's also initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and is expert in worshipping the deity, chanting mantras correctly, performing sacrifices, offering prayers to the Lord, and performing sankirtan. He knows how to serve the personality of Godhead and how to respect a Vaishnava. When one has attained the topmost position of Mahabhagwat, he is to be accepted as Guru and worshipped exactly like Hari, the personality of Godhead. That's Madhulila 24:330. Okay? Different things are said at different times about what a Mahabhagwat is. Any questions further to this?
There's not a question. There's also a quotation from the talk of Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical things to the effect that an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism.
Yeah, we just discussed that. Were you here for that? An Uttamadhikari can be recognized by his ability to convert many others to Vaishnavism. That might be looked at differently from the ability to make a lot of disciples. Or you might look at it the same way. You say, oh, he's made a lot of disciples. He made them devotees. But what kind of devotees did he make them? And what is his idea? What is his consciousness? Where is he going? Yes?
There is another statement on page 53 from Srila Prabhupada. One should know for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper candidate for advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's also there. This is how you get from where you are to where you're going. That's 53? 54? 53. Yeah. We talked about that. That even a person who's a Kanishka can become Uttama, going step by step. How does he do it?
Chanting
Hare Krishna. Offense without offense, avoiding the 10 offenses. Because he's chanting and he's trying to avoid the 10 offenses, gradually he'll make progress in avoiding the 10 offenses. And as he makes progress, he'll gradually come to the point where he won't commit the 10 offenses. He goes from the offensive stage to the clearing stage, and finally to the pure stage of chanting. At the pure stage of chanting, what's his position?
Mahabhagavata,
Uttamadhika. He's chanting without offenses. His heart is pure.
Is it true that that the Mahabhagavat is always a first-class devotee?
Is it true that a Mahabhagavat is always a first-class devotee? Yes. This term, Mahabhagavat, is a synonym for Uttamadikara. Mahabhagavat means big devotee. Yeah, I saw some controversy going on about the Hindi translation of some one of Prabhupada's books where they, you know, someone was a big devotee who's described as Mahabhagavat. Because that's what Mahabhagavat literally means, big devotee. Uttam means topmost. Mahabhagavat, yes.
Isn't in the Srimad Bhagavatam is explained that there are a certain amount of Mahabhagavats? I don't know exactly the number, like there's
Mahajans.
Twelve.
Now that doesn't mean there can't be any other Mahajans. In fact, there was Prabhupada was sitting with one devotee and he was reciting Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kopila, Mani. In this way, 12 Mahajans. And the devotee was bright. He said, and you're the 13th Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, and you're the 14th. Yes.
You just said that Mahabharata is first class devotee. Mm-hmm. We know this story from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Tapana Mishra and Chandra Shekhar.
Mm-hmm.
It is explained that they were
Madhyamadikaras.
Yeah, but
or
still. Yeah.
Madhyamadikaras, or did it say
Kanishta?
Kanishtadikaras, because they couldn't convince anyone. Their Shastric knowledge wasn't very strong.
But still, they were considered like pure devotees.
Yeah. We read that, that even the beginning devotee can be considered a pure devotee if he's following the process of pure devotional service. Right? Did we read that in that portion? It can be a pure devotee, but see, again, from one point of view, they were considered Kanishta. Why? Yeah, but their Shastric knowledge was weak. Seems from another angle of vision, they had faith. They didn't become Mayavadis. They were convinced about Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu. They were unhappy. We were always hearing Hambra Lasmi, the moment, get us out of here. But they couldn't make Prakashananda Saraswati into a Vaishnava. Couldn't make anyone into a Vaishnava, it seems. No one became. They couldn't answer the arguments that were being given. Someone else had to come, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally came and broke up the Mayavadis with arguments. But Tapan Mishra and who is Chandrasekhar couldn't do it. So from that angle of vision, they were considered Kanishtas, although they were associates of Chaitanya. Something else. Okay. Let's see. So now this point that was brought up, that a Mahabhagavat, when he comes to preach, comes down to the Madhyamadikari platform. Because if you're seeing everyone is perfectly engaged in Krishna's service, where's the preaching? God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. It's nothing to preach about. Everyone's already engaged in Krishna's service. So the Mahabhagavat comes down to the Madhyamadikari level to preach. And I see that, you know, you're trying to get your minds around that and figure out, does he calculate, how does he do it? If he's Uttama, if he's seeing everyone is engaged in service, how can he make this adjustment? Don't ask me. I've never done it. But this is what happens. Yes?
I heard also one statement that Uttamadikari actually isn't able to, I'm not sure if it's following the regular principles or like to perform normal activities because he's so much absorbed in this prema and bhava and all these ecstasies and rolling on the floor and tears and so he's...
Well, then that's again another, you know, another set of criteria. Here it's just indicated that he sees everyone engaged in the service of Krishna. But there the discussion is that he's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and ecstasy and prema and so on. So that doesn't give you much scope for preaching. Yes?
Is it some other higher grade of Mahabharata? Because sometimes it's said, you know, like, or the devotees are doing this for Prabhupada, saying he's Mahabharata, you know, or he's saying, you know,
first class Mahabhagavat, second class Mahabhagavat. Our authorities haven't made those distinctions. But sometimes they have made comparative studies. For example, even here we're talking about devotees that we find in this world. Even if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, there are gradations. And that's elaborately discussed in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narad Muni meets devotees who have higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna. They're all pure devotees. And at the end, he concludes, they're all perfect. They're all perfectly engaged in the service of the Lord. But still, by a comparative study, Arādhya Bhagavān Ramya Kaschid Apasana Vrjavadhu Vargena Yon Kopi. Nobody else is like the devotees. Nobody else is like the devotees. But by another angle of vision, everybody else is like the gopis. We can't say who's higher and lower. We can't say that Yashoda Mayi is lower than the gopis. Well, you know, they're gopis, but she's only Krishna's mother. That's not how a pure devotee sees. But still he sees, yes, the gopis are in the highest position. So even in the spiritual world, you can make comparative studies. Even in the spiritual world. It's not that these are, after all, categories. Categories are tools for helping us understand something. You know, there are what? How many planets?
14.
9, 11, depending how you look at it.
The solar system.
Huh? 14 if you go that way, but anyway, there's let's say 11 planets. So that's a category. But it doesn't mean that Mars and Venus are the same. Or that Jupiter and Mars are the same. Or that the Sun and the Moon are the same. Or the Moon and Mercury. They're all individual. They're all different. They all have different features, different influences. You've got, you know, Mercury in the first. That's different from having the Sun in the first house installed. They all belong to the same category, planets. We're talking planets here, not stars. Not signs. Planets. So they're all planets. But planet is a category. Just like man is a category. Woman is a category. Okay, he's a man, she's a woman. But oh, now that's the end of the story? All men are equal, all women are equal? There are certain features by which one is placed in that category. But not that all men are equal, despite the United States. What is it? Declaration of Independence? All men are different, you know? There's tall ones and short ones and smart ones and idiotic ones and strong ones and weak ones and healthy ones and sick ones. You know, there's all sorts of individual features. You know, white ones and brown ones and yellow ones. They're all over the place. But there are some characteristics by which we can group all these entities into one category, and we say they're all men. These are all trees. But there's a big difference between a neem tree and a mango tree.
I was thinking, in terms of the categories, that we should understand the spirit of why we've got these categories as well. That categories are there to help us advance in our Krishna consciousness. Not that we all should be walking around in the bench.
Okay. Yeah, I'm first class.
just to help us to advance.
You'll find this in the Goswami literature, in our literature, and actually in scholarly literature in general. You find they take things and they say, they divide them up in categories, and they say, okay, we can look at this and say, there are five categories of this. You know, they go into in biology, you know, they say, okay, this thing's got six legs and such, it's an insect. This has these things, it's a mammal. This has these things, it's a, you know, but some mammals are more like insects than they are like other mammals. You know, a little rat is probably closer to a, you know, a big insect than it is to an elephant in some ways. You know, I can handle a rat, I can handle a mosquito, I don't think I can handle an elephant. So these are categories. But categories have meaning, they have value. But a category is not, doesn't tell you the whole story. I know everything about this person because I know what category he's in. He's Italian, okay? You know, I do know something now about that person. I know that he fits in a certain category, which is relevant for certain purposes. But it doesn't mean I know everything about this person. Or that he's like all other Italians. What do you expect? He's Italian. It's helpful for certain purposes, and for certain other purposes it may not be helpful at all. Now these categories are helpful for, these are important categories, first class, second class, third class devotees. Otherwise Rupa Goswami wouldn't be pointing them out to us. He's only got 11 verses and he's taking one of them to make these distinctions for us. Bhagavata makes the distinction. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these are important categories. Not well, these are just categories. But categories is what they are. It's not that, well, I know everything, he's first class, and therefore he's like all the other first class devotees. There are distinctions even among first class devotees. That's how we got to this, right? Okay.
I have a question.
You have a question? Good.
Yes. Because there's many categories in the spiritual world, mm-hmm. we say that there's also a migration or a progression?
In the spiritual world? No. It's not that there's... These are not sadhakas who are progressing in the spiritual world, that now they're just kind of... Well, now he's a servant, but he's working on it, and, you know, give him some time and he'll be a coward boy. Give him a little more time, he might become like a parental devotee, and give him still more time, maybe he'll make the grade and become a, you know, gopi. It's not like that. In the spiritual world, everything is eternally existing. The relationships are there. It's not that the coward boys are thinking, you know, what do we have to do to become gopis? That's not going on. They may sometimes think, oh, how did the gopis become so fortunate? But they're not thinking, you know, let me do sadhana or something. Although Lakshmi was thinking that way. She's in the married relationship with Krishna. But she wanted to do, she did penances and austerities. How can I get into Vrindavan? How can I get into Vrindavan? Still she couldn't get it. Yes.
So Maharaj, in the end, Papa Prabhupada mentioned that the devotee should also know his own position and should not try to imitate it.
Yeah, we're don't look through the purport and look for questions. Look for questions about what we're talking about. Because what, and at the end, if we haven't discussed something, but if you go looking through the purport and saying, I've got a question, you know, you're asking about what we're talking about tomorrow. So stay focused here, what we are talking about. Any questions further so far? Yes?
I would also ask for this, like sometimes these terms like Mahabhagavata or Jagat Guru, mm-hmm. they're, you know, how to say, you know, they're
thrown around,
yeah, yeah, for everybody.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, by the way, didn't like this term,
Jagat
Guru.
Jagat Guru,
Srila Prabhupada really disliked it. Because every Mayavadi, Tom, Dick, and Harry is Jagat Guru. The word has been so term has been so devalued by overuse. You know, everybody who's got a long beard and the saffron cloth is Jagat Guru. So it's no praise for Prabhupada to call him Jagat Guru, because everybody's Jagat Guru. It's like the story about the village lady. She got some favor from the governor. The governor somehow or other did something for her. And she was so grateful that she blessed him that may you become the police chief. Because in her estimation, chief of police was a big guy. So she blessed the governor. May you become chief of police. So the first class title, he said, was Prabhupada. And Jagat Guru is useless. Even Gurudev, Prabhupada said, which Gurudev? They're saying, Jai Gurudev. Prabhupada said, which Gurudev? He said, this is impersonal. That's another seminar. ₹700, you can take the kirtan before him. Okay. Although preaching is not meant for a Mahabhagwat, a Mahabhagwat can descend to the platform of Madhyamadikari just to convert others to Vaishnavism. Actually, a Mahabhagwat is fit to spread Krishna consciousness, but he doesn't distinguish where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it should not. He thinks that everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness if the chance is provided. A neophyte and intermediate devotee should always be eager to hear the Mahabhagwat and serve him in every respect. The neophyte and intermediate devotees can gradually rise to the platform of Uttamadikari and become first-class devotees. With great love and affection, the Mahabhagwat observes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service, and the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagwat knows that everyone is engaged in the Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. On the Mahabhagwat platform, see, everybody's engaged in the service of Krishna. But for preaching, he comes down to the second level and makes distinctions. Okay. Let's now, in a little bit of time we have still, address this point that someone who's chanted even once is a beginner. Satyaraj bole Vaishnav Chiniba Kemone Ke Vaishnav Kahatar Samanye Lokhani. Satyaraj Khan said, how can I recognize a Vaishnav? Please let me know what a Vaishnav is. What are his common symptoms? Prabhu kahe, jar mukhe shuni ekvar, Krishna naam she puja, shreshta shavaka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. She puja, he's worshipable. Ek Krishna name kore sarva papa kroy nava vidha bhakti purna nam vaite hai. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. Now there will be quite an elaborate discussion, which we won't complete today, about this statement that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can do everything. Diksha purascharja vidhi apeksha na kori, jiva swarshaya achandala, shobare utkori. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, chandala, can be delivered. Anushanga phole kores shamsharer choy chitta akarshiya korai krishne premador. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Akrishti kritachetasam sumanasam uchchatanam chamhasam achandalam mukkaloka sulabho vasyascha mukti shriyam no diksham nachet satpriyam nacha purascharjam manavikshate mantro yam rasanas prageva palati shri krishna namatmaha. This is Padyavali. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly, liberal people. It's the annihilator of all sinful reactions, and it's so powerful that except for the dumb who can't chant it, it's readily available to everyone, including the lowest man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it's identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purascharja of regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient.
Which verse is it?
Padyavali. I don't know where it comes from. Oh wait, I do know where it comes from. Chaitanya Charitamrita 15, Madhya 15, 1:10. Like that verse? Ateva yar mukhe eka krishnanam sheta vaishnav koriya tahar sama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore you should offer all respects to him. Yannama, what is that? Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. On his tongue, there's Krishna nam, and we have to offer him all respect. Manasa, at least in our minds, we have to think, this person is chanting Hare Krishna. He's a Vaishnava. Chanting Hare Krishna, this is Krishna. Krishna is on his tongue. Well, Adyeta, one should respect this person because he has Krishna on his tongue. He's chanted Hare Krishna once. He must be a Vaishnava. Yes?
In this one, even if I'm going to chant, he has Krishna in his heart. So
that's Uttama Adhikari vision. You can say, well, everyone's ultimately a Vaishnava. Every living entity is a Vaishnava. And they're all engaged in Krishna's service. That's Uttama Adhikari vision. So we're not Uttama Adhikaris. It's mentioned that this advice in this verse of Upadeshamrita is to guide the Madhyama Adhikaris. So on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, I may not see that everyone is engaged in Krishna's service, deeper. But I'll see, this person has chanted the holy name of Krishna. He's a Vaishnava. I have to offer him respect. Manasadri. Maybe I'll see how much more I can do in 5 minutes. The holy name is so strong that even initiation is not required. In Madhyalila, 15th chapter, text 108, Prabhupada gives a detailed discussion of Diksha and its importance, and he quotes Srila Jiva Goswami. It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific prescriptions of the Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's feet for his protection. Nonetheless, Vaishnavas following the path of Sri Narada and his successors endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of a bona fide spiritual master through initiation. And in this tradition, the devotees are obliged at the time of initiation to begin in deity worship. Although deity worship is not essential, the material conditioning of most candidates for devotional service requires that they engage in this activity. When we consider their bodily and mental conditions, we find that the character of such candidates is impure and their minds are agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. The idea here is the holy name can do everything. Just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That will, you don't need anything else. But can you do it? Initiation is required when we want to worship the deity. Diksha. We get into dikshas, after all, a regulative principle. I'm being asked now, because I'm initiated, to follow some regulative principles, to worship in a certain way. Why do I need this? I got the holy name, that's enough. But, considering our bodily and mental conditions, considering what sort of people we are, can we just sit and chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada quotes, "O best of the brahmanas, even without initiation, preliminary purification, or acceptance of the renounced order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name." In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon, and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The offenseless chanting of the holy name does not depend on the initiation process. Although initiation may depend on purascharja or purascharana, that means some preliminary purifying activities, follow these rules. Know this. The actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on purascharja vidhi or the regulative principles. If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. No, without offense. Who will chant without offenses? Prabhupada says, if one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Clear? CC Madhya 15108.
Yep. I mean, to reflect to this that if there were so many words which are saying the chanting to the holy name, it is not necessary initiation.
Right. All you have to do is chant defenselessly.
So I heard one quote, I don't know from where, is that if you don't take the mantra from a bona fide sampradaya.
Sampradaya vihinaye mantrastem nishpalavata.
So, how you are going to chant the holy name, if you before that you didn't pass through initiation and take the holy name?
No, I heard it from a pure devotee or somehow or other, I got the holy name enough. Let's say I heard it from in the Sampradaya. I came to the Hare Krishna temple, there were all these people chanting Hare Krishna, they were all, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas and properly initiated. I heard the holy name, that was enough for me. I took it within my heart, I chanted day and night. Enough, you don't need to do anything else. But who will do that? We gave that example, Prabhupada gave that example, that Rabindranath Tagore. He was brilliant, that's all. He didn't require to go to Oxford and take tests and sit in classes or anything. All he had to do was win the Nobel Prize and they gave him a degree. That's proof that you don't have to go to college. That you can get a degree without even attending school. But how many of us will do that? Prabhupada said that because the Westerners have difficulty concentrating, I've reduced it to 16 rounds. We can't even chant 16 rounds. We think it's really tough to complete our 16 rounds every day. It's a major undertaking. For Haridas Thakur, it wasn't a major undertaking. So in principle, we should understand that the holy name is so powerful that simply by the association of the holy name, one can get everything. Nothing else is needed. But in practice, we're recommended to follow all these rules and regulations. You know, you don't even have to follow any rules and regulations. You just have to chant the holy name without offense. You don't have to get up at 4 in the morning. You don't have to go see the deities. You don't have to worship Tulsi, you don't have to live in Vrindavan, you don't have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't have to do any of these things. You just have to be completely sold out to the holy name and you'll get everything. But are we going to do that? No. But we should know that all this potency is there. Because of Dinnatan Navanamana, there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna. So again, from one angle of vision, no, you don't even need initiation. And from another angle of vision, without initiation, your connection with Krishna isn't even established. Therefore, we saw as a practical fact that Srila Prabhupada never encouraged, just chant Hare Krishna, forget about initiation, you don't need any of this other stuff, that's just formality. There was one lady who was chanting Hare Krishna. She was a little famous. You know that lady who was, like, the Tirtha Maharaj was preaching to her? Alice Coltrane. And some devotee, she was chanting Hare Krishna, and one devotee was having a discussion with Prabhupada. We want to encourage people to do that, you know, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, but they must come in the process. He said, otherwise it will become Namaparat. This is the process, to be initiated, to follow the regulative principles, associate with devotees, first have some faith, interest, associate with devotees, follow the rules and regulations under the guidance of the spiritual master, free the heart from all unwanted things. So otherwise it will become nama-pura. All we have to do is chant. Yes, but if we don't come within the process, it will become nama-pura. Our pure devotional service will become sahajism or mayavad or something else. Upadaya Kalpate will just be a disturbance. Shruti Smriti Purana, without following the rules and regulations, our devotional service will just be a disturbance to everyone. We have run out of time. Please save your question for tomorrow. We will continue this verse tomorrow. Monday, not tomorrow. You're off for 2 days. Forget everything. You'll come back Monday with all of this deeply imprinted within your memory. Thank you.